Okay, Ramban Parshas Tetzaveh, and the Ramban begins with the menorah, where Rashi says that it's la'alos ner tamid, and Rashi says tamid doesn't mean that it'll always be lit. Rather, every night, called laila v'laila, that's called tamid. Doesn't mean it'll always be lit, it's only lit at night. It's rather being lit every night, that's called tamid. So the Ramban disagrees with that. The Ramban says that the Chazal learned differently, that it means literally tamid. There was always a light burning in the menorah. Not all seven were only burning at night, but there was one or two that were always burning. The Ner Ma'aravi was always burning. And that was an os that the Shechina was sure in Israel, at least the first Beis HaMikdash, it was an os that it was always lit. And it's just like, which was the Ner Ma'aravi is not clear. So it really depends how the menorah was placed. So if the menorah was placed when you walk in, side to side, that is, it was facing from north to south, so then it means it was the middle candle was the Ner Ma'aravi. But if it was lengthwise, meaning if it was east to west, so then the Ner Ma'aravi is the second one, like as you approach the menorah, the second one, because it's more Ma'aravi than the first one. So that's called the Ner Ma'aravi, and that was always lit. And then he says, regarding the big day kahuna, Pasuk says, "Obi lechavodu lesifares," for an honor and a splendor. See, the Ramban explains that the big day kahuna were big day malchus, literally. It was the way kings dressed in the time of the Torah. So the ksonis is also, you know, these were things that kings or princes, whoever, wore, including the mitznefes, which is a thing that kings wore, he says. The tzitz is like a crown. Anyway, so it was supposed to look like Big Day Melachim. But there's more. But we'll get to the more shortly. Just one last thing from this pasuk on Lechavod L'Sifares, the Ramban says this chiddush, that the Big Day Kahuna had to be made Lishma. It sounds to me like a chiddush. Big Dikun had to be made Lishma. Okay, but we're going to get again to the way the Kohen Gadol looked, he's going to talk about shortly, but hold on one second. The Choshen. Choshen HaMishpat had the Urim and Tumim, right? The breastplate that had all those stones, and it also had on the inside of it the Urim and Tumim. What are the Urim and Tumim? Okay, so this is the Shabdak of Machlokas. So he quotes the Ramban saying, that they were Kesev Azav, whatever, he disagrees with that. Rashi says it's a Shema Mefarish. Okay, the Ramban is very specific, that there were two Shemos, Urim and Tumim. Those were two different Ksavim that had different Shemos on them. So we all know the story that when the Kohen Gadol had a question, or the Melech, whatever, we're going to ask the Urim and Tumim, the Kohen Gadol is going to ask the Urim and Tumim. See, the Ramban says what he would do is he would be Mechavin to the Shem called Urim, which is the shame of one of the shamos of Hashem. I believe there's quotes here, you know, in the Masada of Cooks, they have that it was the 42-letter name of Hashem. Whatever it is, the shame Hashem. It's called Urim because it would light up on the breastplate the stone, the letters of the Shvatim that spelled out the answer to the question. So that just tells you a bunch of letters, right? So certain letters would light up, at least to the eyes of the Kohanim, to the Kohen Gadol. I'm not sure if everybody saw that light, but it would light up on the breastplate, on the Choshen, certain letters, which would be the answer to the Kohen Gadol's question. That's just Urim. But then, you know, a bunch of letters could be 100 different ways. You know, a bunch of letters could be put in different orders, different commas, and who knows what. So you have to know what to do with them. So that's the second shame, Tumim. And that was the shame, it says here in the bottom, the shame, 72-letter name of Hashem. He would have to be Mechavin of the name Tumim, so that the Lev HaKohen would be Tumim, perfect, B'idias Inyan HaOsios. So that would tell him what to do with those letters, what's the proper order. And he says this is a Madrega of Ruach HaKodesh, not quite Nevuah, but higher than a Baskal. It was a type of Ruach HaKodesh that the Kohen Gadol would get when using the Urim HaTumim. Okay, then we have the description of the Me'il, which according to the Ramban is kind of like a long tzitzis, meaning like it's got two corners in the front, two corners in the back, like a four-cornered garment. So it would go from his neck all the way down to the legs and the front and the back, and four corners. And according to the Ramban, again, this is not like Rashi. According to the Ramban, the pamonim were the bells were in the pomegranates, right? According to Rashi, one was next to the other. According to the there was pomegranate bell. According to the Ramban, the pomegranates were in the bell, and you could see them. I'm sorry, did I say that? I said that backwards. The bells were in the pomegranates. The bells were in the pomegranates. And you could see the bells from within the pomegranates. And there were 36 in the back and 36 in the front, for a total of 72. Which is, of course, connected to Shem Hashem. He also mentions that the mitznefes wasn't a hat, as much as it was a turban that you wrap around the head, which kind of forms a hat, but it was a turban. Like, you know, it was 16 amas long, and you wrap it around the head. Okay, now, when the Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh, again, not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the Kodesh, he has to be wearing his Shmona Begadim, his 8 Begadim. When he goes to Fnai B'Naflim, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't wear that. But when he's in the Kodesh, he has to wear his Shmona Begadim. If he doesn't, he'll die. That's what it says, V'lo Yamos. Rashi says that, you see, if you don't wear any of the Shmona Begadim, that the Kohen Gadol will die. Okay, so the Ramban doesn't exactly agree that that's what it's referring to, but it's specifically referring to if he doesn't wear the Me'il, meaning it's going on. Well, let me be more specific. We're talking about Pasuk Lamed Hey. In Pasuk Lamed Hey, Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Lamed Hey, where it says Vayal Aaron the Shereis, talking about the Me'il with the bells. Minishma kolo b'vo'o el ha-kodesh l'fnei Hashem v'tzeiso v'lo yamos. The Ramban says that is talking specifically about the Me'il. If the Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh without that, he's going to die. Because Rashi says it's talking about all the big day Kohen Gadol, and the Ramban has some questions on that. First of all, we haven't even mentioned all 8 begun on the Kohen Gadol. Secondly, it says v'tzeiso l'lo yamos, when he leaves, he won't die. Leaves? Why can't we wear the Shemona begun when he leaves? So the Ramban says this pasuk is talking about the Me'il specifically that had the bells on them. And it's going on the part that it says it'll make noise, right? The pasuk before says, well, it says it makes noise. V'nishma, this pasuk, V'nishma kolo b'vo'o el ha-kodesh. The noise will be heard when he comes to the Kodesh, l'fnei Hashem v'tesev lo yamos. So why would he die specifically? Why do you need the noise? So we all know that the general idea is noise is kind of like a derech eretz. The Ramban says this as well, that when you go into a king, so you announce yourself. Like he brings the example of Purim, by Achashverosh. You don't just show up at the king's unannounced. You have to say you're coming, you have to announce yourself. But the Ramban also says it's also because when the Kohen Gadol does his avoda, so no one else is allowed. I mean, I think it's really talking about the Kodesh Kadashim when it says this. It says even the Malachim are not allowed in. It says V'chaladam l'giyah ba'ol moed. And Chazal say afilo osin shakasu ben v'dmos pneim pnei adam lo hayu ba'ol moed. We Malachim are not allowed in there when the Kohen Gadol is doing his avoda. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol has to have these bells that are like an announcement, like we said, number one, to announce that he's coming, you know, for Derech Malchus and Derech Eretz, but also to tell the Malachim to leave. And thirdly, because if they don't leave, then the Kohen Gadol is going to be in danger, because the Kohen Gadol is appearing before the Shechina, Kaviyachal. He doesn't mention this, but he mentioned something very similar by Makas Bechoros. That's why they had to have the blood on the door, even though it's Hashem who is doing the killing of the Bechoros. So what do you mean they know the Mashkas isn't given or just to be Mashkas? What Mashkas? Isn't it Hashem himself who's doing it? It's because if a regular person's around, when the Shechina is there, they can be harmed by the Malachim that surround Hashem. So the Kohen Gadol also needs to do this to have the Shechina is in there. So when the Kohen Gadol has his bells, it tells those or the Malachim to leave. So this way, the Kohen Gadol himself won't be hurt. Now, like we said, a regular Kohen is allowed to go into the Kodesh without any Shemona Begun and without any bells. So it's Lamailas, it's because the Kohen Gadol is on a different level, which is an interesting concept, right? Since the Kohen Gadol is on a higher level, so he's more able to be attacked or hurt by these the malachim that surround Hashem. So therefore, he needs the bells to tell the malachim to leave, so he won't be harmed. So it protects himself. Otherwise, that's why v'lo yamos. And furthermore, this is what I was mentioning earlier on, that the Kohen Gadol wearing the big day kahuna was almost like it was like dressing like Hashem, so to speak. So this way the Malachi Asharis would back off. Okay, anyway, that's the Milas, the Kohen Gadol. Okay, the Rabbana, just going further in the big day kahuna. So Rashi says that the tzitz had six strings holding it on. The Ramban says it's really just one string that just surrounded it, went in two holes on each side and tied to the back of the head. Okay, anyway, when we have all the big day kahuna done, it says Vilbashta Masara Nachicha and Pasik Mamalaf as Banavito, Mashachta Sami Milesa Es Yadam. What does it mean to Milesa Es Yadam? You'll fill their hands. So Rashi says, "Kol milui yadayim lashon chinuch," that you'll be mechanech them, you'll initiate them. And he says, when in his days, Rashi's days, when a ruler would give over a glove to someone else, that would be his way of saying, "Okay, this is you're now in charge now of this thing." So when you're appointed to whatever, you're given a glove, and that makes you in charge of that. So that's called milu yadayim. So the Ramban says, that's just a gaya shaminik. Who cares? That has nothing to do with that. In other words, to say, since a glove is like milu yadayim, to say that that's what the pasuk means, that when you start someone off on something, you know, you bring your eye from a gaya shaminik to what the pasuk means, he doesn't like that. At least it seems to me he doesn't like that. And he says, because they think that that's what happened with Boaz. When it says, Shlafi Shnalo, he says, it sounds like he's saying that the Gayim translate that as he gave him his glove. And anyway, that's their stuff, and that's nonsense. And rather, Mili Yadayim, anyway, it doesn't mean anything like that. Rather, the Ramban says, Mili Yadayim means to be, now your hands are full, meaning now you're ready to do that avoda. Or you now are not chaser that mitzvah or that avoda. Okay, then we have, after everything is all said and done, and they bring the karbanos, so then it says, V'kidashti salamoyin, and v'tzbech, and Aaron and Bana, v'kadesh tachayili, v'shachanti b'sof b'nei Yisrael, v'yisid lahem l'ilokim, and then pasuk mevav is, v'yado ki ani Hashem l'keim, v'sher tzeis azam eretz mitzrayim, l'shachni b'socham. I took them out of eretz mitzrayim, Lishochni b'socham, which Rashi says is al menas lishkonani b'socham. Okay, now the Ibn Ezra sounds to me like he basically says the same thing, but the Ramban seems to like the Ibn Ezra better than Rashi. It could be they're not really arguing, but either regardless, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, ba'avur ki eshkon b'socham. So not exactly like Rashi, but those are the words of the Ibn Ezra. So that I will be shochin in them. So Rashi kind of focuses on that I took them out al-tanai of that. The Ibn Ezra is kind of saying that it's for the purpose of eshkon besocham. So the Ramban says that he likes the Ibn Ezra, and if the Ibn Ezra is right, there's a big sod here. Because why do you think, what do we think the purpose of the Shechinah Bein Shor and Klal Yisrael is? A favor for the Jews, you know, for the people. But he says, again, I don't understand what these words mean. But if it's l'shachni, if it's ki eshkon ba'avur, ki eshkon besochem, it almost sounds like as if Hashem wants to dwell with us, almost like for Hashem. So to speak, not that Hashem's not chas or anything, but those are about who ki inyan shamar akasav Yisrael asher b'cha espa'er. Or Eva the Moshe of Lo, all those things sounds like Hashem has a taiva, so to speak, to be with us. Anyway, okay, that's all pisod, so we don't know exactly what it means. And then one last thing, it ends off with the Mizbeach HaKetores, Mizbeach Hazav. So Ramban asks the obvious, why is this left for last after everything is made and it sounds like it's all done? Then we say, oh, one last thing, the Mizbeach Hazav. So why is that? So it's the psukim before it says v'nikdash bichvodi. That means that people were going to die. It was going to be nikdash bich, right? That's what Chazal tell us. that Nadav and Avihu would die. It's Nikdash, Nikdash Bichvodi. So therefore, we had to end off with this Mizbeach Hazav to let us know that that's where you do the Keturis. The Keturis can save people. The Keturis stops Magefa. That's why it's left right for the end, because you need the Keturis to stop Magefa. And it has this Indian of Midas Adin, which stops the Magefa, as it says, Yasima Keturah Ba'apecha, like af anger. That's a kapara that stops Magefa. Okay, we can stop here.